Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice, the Forgiveness Doctor. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is David Hayes, and I will be your co-host today. Michael will be on shortly, and we'll be taking questions. You can give us a call at 646-200-4169. That's 646-200-4169. And you can go to the website of www.whyagain.com /mindshifterradio. And you can get into the chat room, and if you have some questions or thoughts, answers, ideas, well, then we welcome them. Our purpose of this program, and we want to thank Carol Guy, who got us on this path. We're so grateful for you, Carol, and the opportunity to do this. We began this Mind Shifters radio show back in January, and the purpose of it is, and some people want to know, well, why is it called a mind shifter, and what's a mind shifter? And the mind shifter is about having the opportunity to look and to explore through your own self-discovery, some new ideas and ways to view life and events and to design your life in the realm that you would like to have it versus it being the way that it is right now. This work is taken from Dr. Michael Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me? Again, if you've ever asked yourself that question, what we talk about why that is so. And we do this through several different disciplines, and one major one is using the Aramaic language that was spoken 2,000 years ago and defining certain words. And we're going to offer some ideas and thoughts around the words, around what certain words mean, as if the word forgiveness. And then that's what our main focus is teaching forgiveness. Forgiveness, unlike what some of you may have been told what it meant, you know, what forgiveness is, I'll be bigger than you, I'll forgive you for what it is that you did to me and let you off the hook for that. And, of course, I may still carry some anger or hostility or resentment about it. You know, I was watching and reading what Mandela said is that, you know, he can never forget anything, yet he can forgive anything, which is what we're talking about here, is about how do we forgive. We welcome everyone for, again, any of your questions, any of your thoughts or ideas around that subject. And one of the things that we do is that we take a thought for today, and that's taken from Michael's book. And incidentally, you can go to our website of www.whyagain, and download the book free. There are several programs, and I invite you that when you first go onto the website, if you want to click on and listen to the Coin of the Realm, it gives a great, wonderful overview of this work and the purpose that Michael has and the goal that Michael has taken on about reaching every mind and heart on the planet to teach this work. And in that book, within, you will see there are different pages. They'll have things called a key thought. And one of the key thoughts for today is willingness is the key to empowerment. If you want to be empowered, use the key. You know, often we hear people say, well, yep, I understand that. Well, I'm willing to do that. Yep, are you willing to change your life? Are you willing to take responsibility and take charge? And again, we're going to look at definitions of words. It's like responsibility as well as forgiveness. Usually that word responsibility conjures up some means of blame, guilt, fault, or shame. And really the word responsibility, if you will break that down, it's the ability to respond to. And I think is Jeannie, are you on there now?
Yep. Michael and I both are on here. So you go ahead with your thought for the day, and thank you for getting us started. And so the chat room is open. Anybody that's out there, come on in.
Wonderful. Welcome. Well, the key thought is the willingness to, willingness is the key to empowerment. And if you want to be empowered, you have to use the key. You know, we can talk about, well, yep, I'm willing to do this. And then do we really put it into practice? You know, for many years, within, I attended lots of workshops and seminars. And when I left and or read a book or watched a video and did anything, that once that I had that information, I said, yeah, you know, I'm going to go do this. And then just as soon as I kind of got out of the sight of anybody and anyone, there's some background noise there. I don't know if that's coming from Michael's phone or from Eugene. There's some background noise there. If who's ever there might want to mute that.
Okay, but I think it's Michael's. I had my phone on mute, but we got it covered. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So what level of willingness, you know, in James Allen's book, As a Man Thinketh, and that's woman as well, you know, it's just the way that they wrote in those days, then to the level of my willingness for me that I'm going to do my work, because no one else can do our work for us. We're the ones that are in charge of that. And what a fabulous way for it to be set up. If it were set up any other way, then we would always have an excuse or reason of why is this happening to me again, rather than to take responsibility for the creation of whatever it is that's going on in my world. And I say the creation of it, it's the co-creation of it. There's lots of different elements that go into that creation. There's lots of different energies and different things. And so that's where what this program is about, is about shifting the mind of looking and seeing something different and having a different understanding of it. And so, Michael, since you are out there and you're willing to be on here, would you like to add your thoughts and ideas for today? Well, is he there, Jeannie? Okay, well, whenever that he gets available, then just ask him to
Hello.
Go ahead and come on here.
Yeah, there he
Hello.
Is.
Hello.
I'm on. I'm here. I'm with you.
Okay. So did you have some comments or thoughts around the key thought for the day, Michael? The willingness is the key to empowerment. If you want to be empowered, use the key. And, you know, one of the lines that you came up with is, so perfect for that, you know, that's the cosmic grease, is the level of willingness. So I would invite you to add your thoughts around that.
Well, one of the words that you used earlier in the introduction, David, of responsibility, and one of the interesting things about the human mind is that the human mind is what we call an evidential device. It only gives you the evidence that you're willing to look at. So once you have something in your mind and you instruct your mind, you're not allowed to show me this. I do not want to deal with this. I choose to remain ignorant of this. That dynamic will remain in the mind, but out of awareness until...
Beg your pardon, Michael. The clarity of your voice is coming through a little bit weak. I wonder if you might...
Is that any better?
That's much better, much, much better. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thanks for letting me know. So responsibility, the human mind is an evidential device, and it only gives you, is only allowed to show you the information that you give it permission to. So the minute that you say, I don't wish to deal with this, you put an energy into your mind that goes in with the power of your denial, the strength of your denial. Don't make me look at this, you know, clench my jaw, hold my breath. And that literally pushes out a frequency that draws somebody in to play whatever it is out with us. And when they play it out, they trigger that dissociated part of my mind, and I don't get to see it, except when it is embodied in the picture my mind shows me of someone else. So I have a problem. I choose not to be responsible for my problem. Somebody else shows up in my mind with my problem attached and are sure it's their problem. And, of course, one of the tongue-in-cheek lines I'd love to deliver in the workshops is the one that says, if they're the one with the problem, why are you the one with the pain? If you're in pain and you can't see why you're in pain, then rest assured you are in denial. You are living out of your dissociated mind. And the evidential device that you have called your mind can't show you that it's yours until you say, okay, mind, this is mine. I don't know how I could possibly be responsible for this because I can see clearly that it's somebody else's. But, gee, I have been through this 87 different times with 42 different people, and I am the only one that was there every time. Maybe it's about me. Once you start to suspect that, then you'll start to see specks of your mind that otherwise are invisible. And instead of living out of that dissociated state, you're able to come into relationship with those things that are painful. Now, many people say, well, why would I ever want to come into relationship with something that's painful? That's why I denied it in the first place. I don't ever want to look at this or deal with this. Well, the minute you say, I don't ever want to deal with this, I don't choose to deal with this, pardon me, you guarantee that you'll get to deal with it forever. You'll recall in the ancient scriptures where they understood this dynamic, they said, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. That word heart is, in our modern updated language, would be the dissociated mind, as we're speaking of, or the unconscious. So deny something, pretend you're not responsible, and that gets to repeat over and over and over and over until you finally go, maybe this is about me. Not being aware that it's about me was called in the ancient teachings living in the desert, living in the unconscious. That's another code word for the unconscious or the dissociated mind. And so what the forgiveness process does and why that's so much of a focus of everything that we do and everything that we talk about is that the forgiveness process, as it was taught in the Aramaic, now not in the Greek, in the Greeks we're told it's all everybody else's fault, just forgive them. Forgiveness has got nothing to do with them, nothing to do with letting them off the hook. In fact, if you call what you do when you pardon somebody else forgiveness, then you leave your forgiveness work undone. You leave intact in your heart the dissociated part of your mind, what you don't want to deal with, and guess what? It comes to bite you in the butt over and over and over again. So the worksheet process, and if you haven't been introduced to that yet, please tap into www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says download worksheets. Take the first two links, download the explanation, download the worksheet, start to do it. And what happens is, each time you do it, you collapse the output of your dissociated mind. And all of a sudden you get to go, oh my God, that's mine. And ouch, that hurts. However, facing it once, dealing with it, at whatever level of vitality you are, and you get to clear that one out of your field. And so you don't keep creating your life out of it. You don't keep doing the, why is this happening to me again? People who never learn to actually forgive, actually collapse the projections of the dissociated mind, get to live the title of my book all their lives long.
You know, it's so interesting, Michael, when you were talking about that, every discipline, everyone that I've ever listened to about any type of personal growth or development has always used the term, well, you have to forgive your past, or you have to forgive so-and-so. And though that there was a acknowledgement, yet yes, I do need to forgive that, and that things, what I was saying about Mandela said, oh, I can never forget anything. I can't forget what, you know, that I spent 27 years in prison, and I do know how to, I can forgive whatever that is around it. And one of the invitations we talk about is to use that tool. Up until I met you and met your work, there wasn't a tool that I had that I could use on my own and to do this particular work. So how did you come up with this idea and this worksheet? I know that there have been many people that have talked about do forgiveness, and there's lots of ways out there that people talk about, well, just forgive them. Would you like to comment on that?
Sure. Well, if you go back into the Aramaic language, the word forgive, the word's been translated as forgive is shebag, S-H-B-A-G. And it literally means to cancel. And the reason why that is key, once you understand how the mind operates, and that chapter 24, if you download it and read it, will explain the canceling process, because it's totally against what the normal mind would think, and that is that, and until you understand how the mind works, it doesn't make any sense. But once you see how the mind works, you realize that when you set a goal, the driver that causes the mind to collect information and make pictures, make up a world, is the goals that you set. And if you set a goal in your mind, and there's some interesting Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, the max amount of information that goes into conscious awareness is 9 bits of data. So you're looking at a tiny fragment of what's going on in your mind. Something has to determine what that fragment is. The thing that determines what that fragment is the goals that I set. And I recognize that when I set a goal, I cause my mind to recruit certain data to fill my 9-bit mind, that is, to make up the world that I see. And if I load a goal in my mind that recruits data that's based in hostility or fear, then I will have a distorted picture of the world. I will see things that aren't true. Every time that hostility or fear is active in the human mind, without exception, every time there is hostility or fear firing in brain cells, we're seeing a projection. We're not seeing what's actually going on. And we're seeing a projection based upon what the goal I've set in the moment has recruited from my unconscious, and I've made pictures up out of that. So it seems totally counterintuitive. Well, okay, so you're telling me that I have this wonderful goal that this person who just spurned me should love and care for me, and you're telling me that I should cancel my goal. Michael Rice, that is insane. Why would I do that? That's ridiculous. I deserve that kind of care and support. It's like, yes, I absolutely agree with you. You deserve that care and support. But if your file on care and support in your mind holds some form of hostility or fear, there's denial that's locking that part of your mind out of your vision. And you can't correct it. You can't fix it. You can't change it. Now, it's easy to tell if you've got anything like that going on, because behaviors out of that dissociated mind run us against our own will and choice. So if there's any circumstance where you've said, you know, going into the circumstance, well, I know that usually I do this when I go into this circumstance, but from now on, I am going to be loving. Let's say instead of hostile, I'm going to be loving. Now, you can say that to yourself for eternity, but if your dissociated mind holds hostility around whatever that particular situation is, the minute that hostility is triggered into activity, your choice is gone. You cannot choose to be loving because the dissociated mind has taken over, and it's taken you, and you know, you go back into the ancient scriptures, and they said that we were the masters bound by the servants in our old household. And so those conditions resonate and fire things in us that we have no control over because we're dissociated from it. And what happens is when you cancel the goal that recruits those particular brain cells, you collapse the projection. The denial of a particular dynamic in yourself means that you're going to use that dynamic to build your brain's image of someone else. They show up in your mind with your problem attached. You swear it's their problem. Cancel the goal that recruits that quality of perception, which is defiled and a poor quality of perception, and you're able to directly come into contact with those dissociated brain cells. Then you're empowered to choose. Then you're empowered to change them. It seems totally backward, but anybody who takes the worksheet and actually starts to use it are absolutely wowed at how it eliminates functioning out of states that you say, I just don't want to do this ever again. And you look back 2,000 years ago and you hear this fellow named Paul who's written about this wonderful love stuff, but when the stress is up and the chips are down, what does he say? Why is it the things I would do, I cannot do, and the things I hate are what I do? If you have ever found yourself doing things you hate, it's because you've got a dissociated mind. The Aramaic forgiveness process is how to overcome being controlled by the dissociated mind, to be restored as a master in your own temple, your own household, and to be able to make choices that you actually have the power to carry out. So it's an awesome process because every aberrant behavior starts to disappear. Not overnight necessarily, but it begins to disappear. And that worksheet process that was taught 2,000 years ago, and it comes directly out of the Aramaic words of Yeshua, is how you do that. I can remember the first 10 or so years that I was started to become interested in forgiveness, and I would ask people, you know, well, how do you forgive? And they go, well, you know, you just forgive. No, I don't understand. How do you forgive? Oh, you just forgive. You know, you just forgive. It's like, no, how? And I couldn't find anybody that knew. When we came to the Aramaic Yeshua and started to understand that word forgive is shebag, means to cancel. When you cancel a goal, you cancel that which recruits the unconscious part of the mind, the dissociated mind. You collapse that projection, and now you can change that content. And so everything becomes changeable. No matter how many generations it's been going on, it all becomes changeable. It's absolutely awesome to have that power in your hands.
Yes, it is. I agree with you 100%. And that's the only thing that there is to do. When you were talking there, when you were talking about it, I'm just paraphrasing that you said, you know, you can't change your mind. And what I was hearing and understanding is that mind that has made that goal that's come out of hostility and fear. And I was doing some writing this morning and thinking about that we live in a culture that take a sporting event or in some of the schools or where someone will come from a place of really forcing and telling kids and so forth, you just fight for that, you just do this, and just you fight for that, you go for that, and coming from that energy within that goal was locked in. And it seems at the moment that there is some gratification to that by going through it. Yet what I'm hearing you say and what I'm my understanding of it is now is that when I learn how to set goals based in hostility and fear, and that is a fearful thing because it's coming from this threat, then until I understand and I can never change that goal until I get in touch with that energy that I first did with. Pardon me?
You can change the goal. You can't change the behavior that's driven by it.
Right. Okay.
It's the behavior that lies underneath it that's not changeable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and to do that is to use the tools that you've created in order to get that sense and have and build the brain cells in order to make that happen. Kind of on an automatic basis then all of a sudden when I'm setting goals and I'm doing more of the right things, then the goals that I set are coming from love, coming from my highest intelligence, and so I'll just move towards whatever that goal is, coming from that space. Is that,
yeah.
That accurate?
And one of the challenges in, you know, that's been gone on in the religions forever is that, you know, there's that thing of hypocrisy, and you know, there's so much hypocrisy. And not necessarily a malevolent thing, that hypocrisy. The person who speaks about, I want to love my neighbor, I want to care for my neighbor, I think in most cases genuinely want to do that, but they have no charge over their own dissociated mind. And so the minute that neighbor shows up doing whatever it is that triggers the dissociated mind, it takes over. And I don't care how much you want to say, I am going to follow the law that says love my neighbor. You can be, you know, like 10,000% committed to following that. But the minute something triggers the dissociated mind, boop, that commitment's gone. And all of a sudden somebody's in their fit of rage or their fear or their terror, whatever it is. No matter how committed they are to doing the opposite, commitment to doing that means absolutely zero. What changes it is, can I go into my dissociated mind, come back into relationship with which drives my aberrant or my behavior that I wish I could change, and change it. Forgiveness is what does that. It's the most amazing, amazing thing to watch people who... I was working with a young man the other day, and he...
You might want to change your... The voice is coming across a little broken again, Michael.
Okay. Is that any better?
Okay. Yep, that's much better. Thank you.
So I was working with this young man, and he'd been introduced to the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop when we were in Cat Key. And I did some still point breathing with him. And he'd been somewhere come up in a kind of a rough and tumble world. And he had gone that morning to pick up a newspaper. He stopped in a grocery store, or, you know, a convenience store, picked up this newspaper. And he shared with me that as he's coming out, he sees this kid that he went to school with. This young man's maybe 21, 22, 23, something like that. And he sees this kid that he went to school with that he always hated and that he always would fight with as a kid, you know, all through high school. There were enemies. And he saw this kid, and this kid looked pretty down and out. It looked like he was probably living on the street. And he kind of smugly said to himself, you're right where you deserve to be, you SOB. And then he stopped and took a breath and started to think about what he'd learned just a week before. And it was so powerful to hear him share this. He's like, you know, I realized that I'm bigger than that. I'm better than that. I don't need to do that. So he turned around, followed this kid into the store, and said, hey, hi, how you doing? You know, we always had a problem, but love you. And, you know, if there's any way I can support you, let me do that. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that changes the world. But if you can't collapse your own dissociated mind, I don't care how much you want to change, you can't change it. You'll take the people that you care for the most, the people that are closest to me, to you, and you'll puke on them in an instant if they resonate that dissociated mind. And to consistently, consciously, purposely collapse that dissociated state is the purpose of the forgiveness process as it's sought in the Aramaic. Jeannie, do you have any thoughts on any of those thoughts that either David and I are talking about, or are there any calls or questions in the chat room?
Dr. Tim is in the chat room. I've got planning a company in here, but I don't think he has dialed in yet. Let's see if he's not on the phone, but he said that he does have some comments. So when he dials in there, I will pop him in.
Awesome.
We have Terry on the line. Terry, you're on.
Hi, Terry. Welcome.
Hey. Thanks for the welcome. Good to be here.
Delight to have you here. Delight to have you on the team. For those who don't know Terry, Terry is a Heartland resident, artiste in residence, and resident contractor who has been assisting us in doing some new design things at the Heart Center. If you've been to the Heart Center but haven't been there in the last couple of years, you're going to see some awesome changes, 6 new bathrooms, a shower, a new concrete tile floor, which is just awesome. It looks like the ocean, and getting ready to put in some new decor so that the Heart Center building will be instead of the Heart Center now, it's going to be the Heart Center Lighthouse, because we're going to have a lighthouse decor, and it's a pretty cool space.
He did an awesome job.
It's really coming together, and Ken was just there. I want to acknowledge all the work that he did, and looking forward to moving some things on up and wrapping them up, you know, for the opening of the intensive.
Yes.
Awesome.
For sure.
And,
Jeannie, did you start to say something?
We do have Dr. Tim on now.
Oh, cool. Hi, Tim.
Hello, hello.
How do you be?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. We had our Mind Shifter group last night, and I was just, as usual, it's full of good stuff and stories. So when Jeannie was asking, does anybody have any questions, I typed in, well, comments, as always.
Cool.
If you need stories, I've got stories.
Share one with us, or two.
Well, the big theme from last night was we watched the second half of responsibility communication. Did you hear what I think I said?
Right.
And then one of our group members was stuck trying to figure out how to formulate a responsibility communication to somebody else that needs to change something. And so as a group, we were trying to support her in understanding that responsibility communication isn't about changing someone else. And it's about changing me and enlisting the support or help of someone in my healing process and my dismantling false realities from within me. And this
right.
just kind of evolved into the theme that, you know, you keep quoting, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Right.
And that's an important part of the mind shifter process. But if I go to a mind shifter group because I'm going to help other people, I'm missing the mark. I need
yeah.
to go to the group to work on my stuff. And if I'm not coming from that space of love within me, I don't have that love consciously available to offer someone else. And so that was kind of the theme last night. People kept getting stuck trying to fix the other people and give them ways to solve their problem. And we had to keep trying to bring it back to everybody breathe, everybody look at what they're feeling in this moment, everybody do a worksheet on what's going on with me in this moment. And when I return my conscious awareness to my source as love, that's when the healing takes place.
Absolutely.
Not because I figured out the right clever thing to say to show somebody how I've been studying this work and how smart I am.
Right.
So that was our theme last night. It was real powerful.
And that's fabulous. I like to kind of tongue-in-cheek say to people, you know, if you're at the point where your physiology is now incapable of producing any form of hostility or fear, you're probably fit to tell others how to heal themselves. But otherwise, keep focusing on your own work. And as you do that, that's where the real progress takes place. That's where the real leaps and bounds take place.
Yeah. The other quick story was that last week I did a worksheet. Nobody else wanted to volunteer to do a worksheet, so I did one. And we offer people to either fill in a worksheet using my words so that they can have a template for themselves for how it works, or work along with me and fill out their own worksheet on their own issue. And I
right.
did a worksheet on the previous week when my mom had hip surgery and then complications and had to go in for tests in the emergency room all day Saturday, and how my emotions of feeling inadequate and feeling fear had come up for me in that process. And then how by the end of it, I'd had this shift by the end of the worksheet and let go of the need to be the expert, the doctor, you know, the perfect son or whatever, and had gotten a whole different, more relaxed feel about it. And when we were done, and I asked, did anybody else have any comments or questions about worksheets they worked on, five other people in the group talked about a 90-year-old mother, an 86-year-old father, an 80-year-old aunt, all of these people struggling with similar issues in the past month or two, and they never
mm-hmm.
would have thought to do a worksheet on them. But
right.
because one of us volunteered and said, okay, I'll work on my issue, it opened that space for them to realize they could have issues that they could resolve that way too. So that's the value of the group.
Your courage.
Well, that's the value of the group. It's just, I can't recommend it highly enough. Join
sure.
one or start one.
Starting one doesn't mean you need to know anything about the work. Order some DVDs, put a group of people together, start watching them, start doing worksheets together. As you develop that group, get on the radio show, share your experience, ask your questions, and we will support and guide you and assist you in creating that live support that is just so vital. And the reason is because, you know, we've all been pretty much brainwashed in the same channel. In fact, our language is a brainwash. you just watch in the context of the workshop you said you were doing last night was, you know, communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And the whole pattern of communication of the culture is I speak words about what's going on in my mind as though what's going on in my mind is actually happening out there, which it is not. And our whole communication process in this culture is, you know, based in you made me angry, you made me sad, well, that made me afraid, well, that really caused me some fear, well, that really terrorized me, and they really, you know, they really bummed me out. And when you go back to, we spoke about in the beginning of this session today, the evidential mind, when I use language that says, they made me, what I'm saying to my mind is, mind, go to the hidden part and show me a reality that proves that what I'm hiding from myself and therefore feeling is caused by somebody else. And my mind hallucinates a whole world where somebody else is the problem. And I have no responsibility for what I'm feeling. And until we see and can break through that pattern, it's just, you know, it's amazing. And you know, just starting into the worksheet process, even if you don't do it perfectly, some people go, well, you know, this is so complicated. It's like, gee, you know, you take any step on the worksheet, it is so simple. It's amazing. Want to mute your phone? Somebody want to mute your phone? So the simple shift, being able to say, you know, this happened yesterday and it really brought up my fear rather than that really frightened me, gives my evidential mind permission to show me a whole different world. And the, as you say, Tim, the power of a support group is if only one person in the group can have that insight. As somebody's talking about their projection, how they made me and they should and they and they and they and they, one person can hold the space and go, well, you know, what's happening for you? How are you feeling here? And things just, that one little comment from one person can make such a major difference. It's really awesome. We did a workshop a couple of weeks ago. Pardon me. There was a young lady there. It was actually in a communication workshop, and we're talking about being honest, you know, telling the truth. And she's like, well, you know, when my husband does such and such, I just, you know, kind of turn my head away and roll my eyes. I says, well, why do you turn your head away? Oh, well, you know, I couldn't ever let him see me doing that. It's like, so then you can't tell your husband the truth. Is that what you're saying? Well, no, that's not what I said, but I couldn't ever let him see what's going on inside of me. Well, so the truth is you're feeling a certain thing, and it's not safe to let your husband see that or know that about you. So you have to lie to him. Well, I mean, I don't lie to him. I just don't let him know the truth. Oh, okay. So she thought about that for a minute. Our conversation went on, and then about maybe a minute and a half later, she speaks up and says, and I gave her the thought that, you know, it's safe and healing to tell the truth. And her, like, instant response, right from the unconscious, her instant response was, well, Michael, are you going to be responsible when he kills me if I tell him the truth? It's like, do you hear what you just said? Well, what do you mean, do I hear what I just said? Do you realize that what you're telling me is you hold a belief, you hold a reality that if you tell the truth in your marriage, you'll be murdered? And she just sat in tears for the next 40 or 45 minutes of the workshop. We had an intensive happening on the weekend, and so she came to the work, the intensive, and, you know, just did some major work around that, but had never realized that she was living in such an environment. And if you just really watch your words, and there's the other power of a group is, when you can't watch your words, there's always somebody there who can. And so just to feed back and for her to realize, what a burden, what a load this young woman's living under. And this woman's like, you know, maybe 25, 26. She's living in a home where she feels like if she tells the truth, she'll be killed. Nobody can carry that kind of a burden and survive long term. But when we realize that's my belief and I can clean it up, that is, I can forgive it, I can change that dynamic. And you know, that's just the kind of stuff that happens. It's so awesome and so powerful to watch take place. And it's if you decide to facilitate a support group, it's such an awesome gift to give people. It's unbelievable.
Well, and to give yourself. The gift you give yourself if you choose to lead or coordinate a group is phenomenal.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, before we get too far off the topic, Michael, we were talking about the two letters that you read in the workshop.
Yes.
Responsibility communication. Have those been posted on the website?
I don't know, Jeannie. You know, is the letter from Ron to his dad on the website, and the one from Joy about the...
No, they're not. I need you to send them to me, and then I'll get them out there.
Okay. We'll get them put on the site.
That would be wonderful. Because those are... In my blog entry, I said that the video is worth it just to read those two letters and hear the fundamentals of the worksheet process alone. It's just phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah. That's cool. And, you know, that's something we don't speak much about on the radio show. I'm kind of reticent to really say a whole lot about the products that are out there. But one of the ways that you can support us, aside from if you choose to jump on our website and do a donation at some point, but one of the ways you can support us is by getting on the site and ordering DVDs, CDs. We've got 15 different DVDs. They're each 2 to 2.5 hour live workshops. And as Tim says, the information is monumentally life-changing. And it's pretty powerful to be able to watch them. One of the things I acknowledge about you, David, is, you know, you've been at Heartland now for about 4 years. And I notice that pretty much any time I happen to walk into your space, there in the background, you've got something playing. You've got one of the videos, one of the audios, just working with building the brain cells. And, you know, that you named the building the brain cells game that out of, I presume, your experience of building the brain cells and getting the benefit of it. And it's amazing the time that you can put into doing that process of building the brain cells and the level of insight that comes. It's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you, Michael. And what I understood many years ago when I started what I call my work, this was well before that I was introduced to yours, which was about 10 years ago, 11 years ago now. And it was about the repetition of things. And for me, that no matter what is going on, I'm absorbing that information. If there's a radio show, if there's a talk show, or if there's music that's going on, or if there's an advertisement that's going on, or if there's news that's going on, I'm absorbing that energy, whether I'm conscious of it or not. And myself, I knew that there had to be some way for me. Where I was at, what I was doing in my life, I wanted to make the changes and the shifts. And so I knew that was one of the ways, by either listening or reading. There's just so many different ways to do that. And that it's going on regardless of what it is. If I choose to let go of putting anything on, that means that there's something else out there that's going to take its place. You know, whether it's like riding down the road listening to the car radio. I can choose to put the car radio on, and I can choose whichever channel that I want to and listen to. Well, it's the same way in my learning process. I get to put whatever it is on, and the repetition of it is what really strengthens and builds those aha moments. And it's fun. You know, what else is there to do? I'm doing it either consciously or unconsciously.
Right. And you know,
so we invite folks to call us in with your questions at 646-200-4169. And the chat room, are there any questions or any comments, thoughts are out there, Jeannie?
We do have a caller on the line. 765, you're on the air.
It's me, Lady Jane.
Well, hey there, Lady Jane. How are you?
Hello, Lady Jane.
Did you make it to St. Augustine okay?
I'm here, yes.
Good, I'm glad. I bet you both are glad.
We are, definitely.
Yeah,
I got there
good.
Yesterday afternoon.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. The question that I have today is, yesterday I was listening, and I'm always intrigued with the disassociated mind, even the word. And establishing brain cells, I noticed I had a big aha yesterday, although I've heard this 13,000 times. And I noticed that when I hear it, I think I've got it, and then I don't. Or I think I've got it, and I don't. And then all of a sudden, I got it. Got it, meaning I have the understanding, which means another brain cell was established, I guess. That's what it means.
Yep.
But it was real thrilling for me because I've been working on a certain issue for a long time. And it was like, oh, that's what it is. It was very simple, that's what it is. And I'm going, oh, okay. So when you started today, I had a question about, is there a visual image that you all have or have had when you see that disassociated mind and you're plugged in and it collapses? Have you ever put a visualization to that? You know what I'm saying? To the brain cell? What?
No, can't say as I have.
Well, maybe we ought to invent that.
Okay. Well, I'll take that on the advisement. We'll work on it. Maybe you could drop me an email with some thoughts you might have about it and exactly what
you mean. It occurred to me visualization is a big thing. And if I can visualize it as well when I'm doing the worksheet, it might add something to it. I don't know. It just came, as you were talking, it just came to me. So I'll do that.
Yeah, it would seem like perhaps a some kind of a cartoon type thing, even that shows how the mind could be going in one direction and moves to another. You know, as you were talking, it was the scriptural language. You know, we bring in the ancient Aramaic scriptures, which, when you go back to their origins, are not religious. They're physiology, their psychology, their genetics, and you look into that language, and it spoke about being in captivity. And in captivity, specifically, the symbol was in Egypt. And, of course, it's got nothing to do with the country, but Egypt,
right,
in that particular context, being in the unconscious state where I can't control my own words, my own thoughts, my own,
right,
behavior. And Egypt is symbolic of that dissociated mind. And so you look at Yeshua's work, and he calls us out of Egypt. He says, come out of that insanity. And the reason why sometimes you hear it and you go, oh, that's cool. And then the next time you hear it, you go, well, I didn't understand that at all. And then the next time you hear it, you go, geez, I thought I understood that, but I didn't have a clue what that meant. Now I get it. And then the next time you hear it, you go, oh, that's what it means. And what's happening is that we're breaking out of Egypt. We're breaking down the brain cells through which we perceive, see, and understand the world. And it has many, many realities that it holds. And as you break those down, then there's room for the mind to come to a whole new place of understanding where it's like, wow, that's what it really means. And, of course, the thousandth time from now you hear it, you'll go, oh, now I get it.
Okay. You know, speaking of coming out of Egypt, Unity's symbol, their symbol is a circle with wings on it. You'll see that at a lot of Unity centers. And that it came out of Egypt. It has to do with the soul being in flight. Did you know that?
I did, yes.
Okay. Well, is there anything that one of these days they're going to find something you don't know that I know?
Huh.
Well, you just gave me one. You just gave me one.
That was you, David, but I was trying to get
my thought was around. What my thought around with you when you said that, Jane, was it's like, wow, you know, how I usually come to a realization of something.
Yeah.
It's like that quiet voice, and there's this sense. Just like that there's not a word to describe holding a newborn child, although that I use words in order to comfort that, there's just this knowing. And when you talked about that, I thought, oh, wow, that's really cool, because I want to
in my training is how I like to train. I like to have visuals as well.
Uh-huh.
And the visual that I came up with was there were two different things, maybe three there. It was, I thought, you remember that cartoon, and I'm unable to recall it now, where this guy always walked around with this black cloud over his head. And it was
little
this cloud always, and it was always like bad luck or something like that. I have to research
little
that.
Michael knows.
That was, that was a little Abner cartoon. And what was the guy's name that went around with the cloud?
He went around with the cloud all the time. The visual that I was coming with is that that's kind of like, that's a tool to, you know, a visualization of that I'm in my dissociated mind.
That's the
cloud that's over that. And then that there's a breakthrough that all of a sudden the sun shines right through and the cloud dissipates. Just like when we're seeing something, that there's a cloudy day and all of a sudden, oh, there's the sun, it's shining through. Most everyone that I know, when that happens, their level of energy raises up, which is the same thing that happens to us in our mind. One of the ways that you might want to experiment with that is to do the love exchange. And when you're doing the love exchange or the communication exchange, and raise your cheeks, your mouth, and smile, and notice how it resonates a certain energy up into your frontal lobes. And then kind of trust that. Well, what is that? You put a picture to it of whatever that it is that comes up for you, because that's your experience. That's your exploration into who it is and what it means for you, so that then that will resonate for you all of the time, Jane, and if you can offer it to someone else, and it may just open up the space for them to see something different, which is what you have done for me. You've helped me out very much today. So, now I got a visual. I got a little, I'm going to do my PowerPoint. I'll change a few things about it. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. By the way, Jane, I just want to let you know, too, I forgot to mention to you yesterday, but the whole week when I was in Cat Key and laying on the beach, I was sending you heat and warmth and energy.
Yeah, right. That was so nice of you, Michael. I got it, too. You're such a kind...
You know me. You know I would do that.
I know you'd do that. Thank you.
Okay, we have one more caller, and we've got about 7 minutes. So, 814, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, yes, you're on the air.
I'm actually just curious about what you see for me in the next month with relationship or anything. I got a few things going on right now.
Yeah, here's what I would see for you. I would see that if you wanted to, if you have some concerns, it would be good to tap into the forgiveness process that we're talking about and start to make some shifts there. I think that probably the show you're meaning to call into, Carol Guy used to have this time slot, and she's now, I believe, at 9 in the morning. And Carol's the one who would do more of the interpretation type of thing that you're looking at. Our whole show and our work is about the Aramaic process of forgiveness. So it's a little different direction and slant than what Carol does. So you might want to tap in. Again, Jeannie, do you know for sure, is it 9 o'clock that Carol shows on?
It is. It's only one day a week, though, and I'm not absolutely sure. I'll find out. And
I think it's on Monday.
Yeah, I think it is, too.
Yeah, I think it's on Mondays. But I think the question you're asking in that regard, that you really want to ask that one of Carol, that's more her field than it is
okay.
What we're working with. But if you have some concerns, you might want to tap into www.whyagain.com, which is our website, and you can download our book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, free. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets, and you can click on the first two links. One of them is Chapter 24 from my book that describes how to use that process, and then the second link is for the actual worksheet, and I think you've kind of opened some awesome spaces in you to really tap in directly yourself to where you're heading in your world and be more conscious about creating it more and more every day.
Okay.
Which is...
which is a wonderful way to create the most fabulous relationship with the most important person in the world, and that's you.
Yes, for sure.
And just one thing out of the chat room, this is pretty cool. There's been a lady that's been on there the whole time listening and chatting with us and with Dr. Tim, and she was asking about how would she start a support group, and she loves what you're talking about and everything. And so I asked her where she was, and I've sent her some information, and come to find out she's in Vegas. And I told her that we were going to be there starting Friday, and she's, like, so excited. But I told her that we also did not have Las Vegas up there yet. We had Pahrump. But that we hopefully would get the rest of the details of that and get it up there within the next day or two. So we already have somebody that's willing to jump in there on the support group in Vegas.
Cool, fabulous. Actually, when we started the show, I did get a call from Dr. Stephen. He was calling in, so I couldn't answer him, so I'll call him back. But yeah, we'll be doing a series of free workshops in Vegas, and our schedule will be on the website within the next day or two once we get all the details finalized. So we're going to be around there. We'll be doing a weekend, actually two different weekend intensives. Our topics are yet to be determined, but we're going to be doing one. Jeannie, I don't have the calendar in front of me. The first one's going to be not this weekend coming, but the following. Is that correct?
It is. Let me flip open the website here real quick. We've got
we're going to be in Pahrump on
Thursday, and then we're doing the two-day intensive in Tecopa Delight Hot Springs on Saturday and Sunday, April the 2nd and 3rd. Then we've got another two-day intensive on Saturday and Sunday, April the 16th and 17th. And those are both residential intensives. And we don't have the price up there yet on those. Then we will be doing workshops. I believe that it's April the 4th through the 15th. I'm not absolutely sure, but I think those are the dates that we're looking at to be at the Unity Church.
Actually, the Unity will finish on the 15th, and we'll start Sunday before that. So I think it's maybe
the 4th or the 3rd. No, the
9th.
I'm a week ahead of myself there.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be the week. I think we're speaking on the Sunday the 9th at the Unity Center there, right? Is that Sunday?
I don't have that calendar in front of me. I was just looking at our calendar on the website. It's the 10th. Sunday is April 10th.
April 10th. So we'll be speaking Sunday the April 10th and Sunday afternoon doing the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. And this will be a free open series of workshops. And then we're going to take one night off, and I'm not sure which one it is. It's either going to be Tuesday or Friday. We haven't settled that yet. But we'll be doing Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, with either Tuesday or Friday off. I'm not sure which one. So we'll have 5 free workshops at the Unity Center there starting on the 10th of April. And we're looking forward to doing that. And
we'll also be doing the summer intensives at Heartland beginning on July the 8th, and they can go to the website and check those out. They are in 9-day modules. Most of them are 9-day modules. And we're open to any questions, any thoughts anyone has around those, and you can contact us for more information.
Yeah, and you can even come for the whole 65 days. We'll actually be starting a 65-day intensive at Heartland, and we're in the Ozarks in southern Missouri. It's just about the geographical center of the country, about an hour due east of Branson. And people fly into Springfield, Missouri, and we have a shuttle service that goes back and forth to the airport. And we'll be doing actually a whole 65 days, a 9-day codependence to interdependence module, a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again. Then for those who've completed the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, we'll be doing a 9-day teacher training. Then a 17-day Laws of Living, I believe it is this year, 16 or 17-day Laws of Living. And then a 9-day Intuitive Development and a 9-day Course in Miracles Intensive. So we've got a wide variety of things happening. And basically, Heartland, it's a residential center, so you're housed.
So you have 1 minute. We have 1 minute, Michael. Okay.
Yeah, you're housed at Heartland, and the workshops are done in sessions. We basically take 2 sessions on per day and 1 off, so people have time to go swim or exercise or do their work. And there's awesome gourmet vegetarian food that we serve as part of process, so everything's included. And basically a 9-day intensive is $175 a day for food, accommodations, workshop materials, everything. And if you want more information on that, go to the website, www.whyagain.com. And this work is going to get you ready for the best year yet of your eternal life. And that's the space we hold for you. Have a blessed day. Please join us tomorrow. Bring a stranger with you. Bring a friend. Let a friend know about our show. Come and play. Blessings. Bye-bye.